Hello, dear viewers. It's George from Ireland. Here I am in Paddington, London. And behind me, behold yonder blue plaque. That is the home of Cecil Beaton. Well, one of his many homes. So Cecil Beaton was best known as a society photographer in the 20th century. He was born 1904 in Hampstead, London. So that's a very she-she area of North London, which not long before his birth had been almost countryside. And his father was a very well-off timber merchant, and his grandfather had founded the firm. So they come from relatively humble origins. They'd made good in trade. But he was always to come across some snobbery in the circles that he moved in. Anyway, he was one of four children. His parents are both amateur actors. So there's a fairly artistic background, also living in a very arty part of the city. So he went to prep school there, where he got to know Evelyn Waugh, who was very nasty to him. Waugh was just older than him, the celebrated novelist, because Waugh lived in between Hampstead and Golders Green. The house he lived in still stands, that celebrated author of Brideshead Revisited and so forth. Anyway, from there, Cecil Beaton, he went on to St. Cyprian's Prep School, which was in Sussex, which closed down just after the Second World War, despite being one of the most notable prep schools in the United Kingdom. Another thing about Beaton is, I think he had Scots origins several generations early on his father's side. The surname possibly comes from the French town of Béthune, and then was anglicised, or perhaps caledonicised, to Beaton. And then there are a number of other famous Beatons, like that Cardinal Beaton. I don't know if there's any sort of collateral ancestor. Anyhow, R. Cecil Beaton, St. Cyprian's, he knew George Orwell there, who was a year older than him, and indeed Cyril Connolly, and he distinguished himself for his magnificent singing voice, Cecil Beaton, but I don't think he played any other musical instruments. And he went from there to Harrow School, which was one of the United Kingdom's foremost schools, and indeed foremost schools of the Empire, you would have said in those days, is always mentioned in the same bracket as Eton. But he wasn't remotely scholarly, not particularly gifted at games. He dabbled in sexual liaisons with the other boys, which is not uncommon at the time. And he went to St. John's College, Cambridge. So getting into Cambridge University was not that difficult in those days. So it's not like today, where there's only about sort of 15% acceptance rate. So boys from Harrow or one of schools like that, if they wanted to go there, so long as they're a bit above average, yeah, they could get in. But he was studying art and architecture, dabbled in history. And in those days, there wasn't such a strong expectation that you'd sit your finals. So he went down at the age of 21, not having taken a degree, which was not that uncommon at the time. He picked up a bit of education, he'd socialised, made some friends, possibly played sports or whatever, gone to the union. He'd gained something out of it, connections, and then going down to London and getting into photography. So his nanny had a camera, and this was before the First World War, and that was extraordinary because cameras were very expensive. I've even heard of middle-class people in the 1970s who couldn't afford cameras. I remember it was all black and white till the late 1930s. So he became a photographer, and he had society introductions. He knew the Sitwells, that famous family, Edith Sitwell, Sir Cheverel Sitwell, literary figures at the time. Anyway, he was well known for photographing society weddings. He got to know the royal family. He became friends with the Duke of Windsor, as in the guy who was briefly Edward VIII in 1936. And the Ministry of Information used him as a photographer in the Second World War. So he was excused military service, despite being only 35 when the war broke out and in excellent physical condition. He was quite a slim man. So he was actively bisexual. Obviously, he had to keep that quiet at the time because sexual relations between men were illegal. Legal in England and Wales in 1967. Anyhow, after the war, he took the official portraits of Elizabeth II at a coronation, and then, of course, everybody wanted to commission him to take photos of them because of his royal connections. So he was a crashing snob and name dropper, and obviously an indefatigable self-publicist, but that did him an awful lot of good. So his photographic studio was thriving, flying all around the world to photograph the rich and infamous. And indeed, his favourite subject for a sitting was Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, as in the mother of Elizabeth II, whose name was also Elizabeth, as in she was the dowager. So he was a well-known international photographer into the 1970s when he retired to Wiltshire. He had a stroke in 1978, which made it almost impossible to practice his art. Then he died in 1980, and he's buried in Wiltshire, just about 2 miles from the house he lived in. So that is Cecil Beaton, a renowned 20th century photographer. Right, thank you for watching my video. He was one of the bright young things, those wealthy, upper class, artistic types, very fun-loving and louche in the 1920s. So it's Vile Bodies, is that Evelyn Waugh novel about that social set when they're celebrating the Roaring Twenties, the jazz age. It was also just before cocaine was outlawed as a recreational substance. I'm not sure if Cecil Beaton appears in those. He also kept his journal, and these were published, some of them in his lifetime, mostly afterwards. Abridged versions were published because of his acerbic observations of various society figures. Subsequently, they've been published without any editing because some of what he said was so vicious. He was also rather anti-Semitic. So that's why he'd taken photographs for Condé Nast and Vogue and all sorts of well-known magazines, but he got himself into trouble for his anti-Semitic outbursts. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Toodaloo, everyone.